All right, time to talk to Stephen Dinan, who is working about 800 different directions today. Man, you are all over the place, aren't you?
It's been a busy day. It's only going to get busier this week, too.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Supreme Court going to take up the illegal immigration law. This is the one in Arizona, right?
Exactly, though obviously there are about a half dozen other states have enacted copycat laws, some even going further, and so all of those will likely get, not that the court will necessarily hear all of those cases wrapped in, but whatever the court decides, it's likely to set the precedent that all of those other cases will end up following.
Yeah.
So, yeah, major, major, major implications.
All right, now this is the law that requires police to check the status of those suspected of being in our country illegally, is that what that is?
That's right, and, you know, there are a lot of nuances to them, whatnot to that, about when the police are actually, at what point they're allowed to have probable cause. You know, it's not that they can just stop anybody that they decide walking down the street. They have to engage them in their normal, essentially investigative duty. So if they stop somebody for speeding or are investigating somebody for something, for a crime or something like that, if they have reasonable belief that they're engaging in the regular duties of enforcement and come across somebody that they're already looking to enforce against at that point. It's a very touchy subject that I've been yelled at for getting it, not necessarily writing all the nuances into stories. So that's why I figured I should, before I get the phone calls, I figured I'd specify. So, but all this matters for the court case, obviously, because the judges, justices are going to have to look at how this is likely to be applied and whether it's likely to lead to discrimination, whether it's likely to lead to and key is whether it's whether it infringes on the federal government's duty or responsibility to control immigration.
All right, tell me about Elena Kagan, Supreme Court Justice. What did she do?
She recused herself from the decision, essentially granting certiorari, which is when the court accepts a petition and says they'll take the case. She recused herself from that decision, which essentially means that she's likely recusing herself from the entire case, won't be part of the hearing or the decision, which means there are only 8 justices participating. And a couple of different things about that. First of all, is that of course there are a number of folks who believe she should be recusing herself in the health care case as well, which she has not done. The timing on this is interesting. The healthcare law was President Obama signed that in March of 2010. The first conversations on her office, Solicitor General. So the issue, she was Solicitor General when the law was signed by President Obama. Solicitor General is the office that handles essentially the president's courtroom lawyers, handle Supreme Court cases and whatnot. Her office had begun conversations in January about how they would defend the health care law. Now, she's not recused herself in that case, even though there's this 2-month gap between January and March there when she actually was nominated for the Supreme Court and officially stopped doing stuff. Republicans are wondering about that gap, but the weird thing on timing is that the Arizona immigration law wasn't actually signed until by Governor Jan Brewer until April of 2010. So even here, a month afterward, and yet she recused herself from that case. So you do wonder it's entirely possible that the Obama administration had been laying out it's a legal strategy for challenging that law even before March, but it raises some questions. You'd love to sort of know what were they planning and what were they discussing that early on, well before the law was actually even signed. Because I actually remember when Governor Brewer signed the law, nobody knew what she was going to do until she walked into that room that day. There was a very good chance some folks thought that she would actually veto the law rather than sign it that day in April when she walked into the room and announced her decision. So it's interesting if the Obama administration had been laying out a legal strategy even before that.
All right, I'm going to take you on to a different story. We hear the administration is going to draw down the National Guard levels at the border. Why?
Some National Guard folks have told Congressman Duncan Hunter of California, and then the National Guard says stay tuned for an announcement. Wouldn't tell me what it was, but says stay tuned for announcement. So we're pretty certain it's going to happen. And the answer the reason they told Congressman Hunter was budget pressure. Essentially, so the National Guard is part of the Department of Defense, and essentially the Department of Defense believes it's getting squeezed so badly on budget pressures that they can no longer afford to have the 1,200 Guard troops that are on the border, that have been on the border since June of 2010. And so in terms of beginning to look for these cost-cutting areas where they say they're going to have to start cutting in the future, this is one of those places where they're going to start cutting probably early next year. You know, now, this is... You know, we don't know until they actually announce the plan and we actually see the budget for next year what the actual numbers are. But I can see some folks certainly wondering if this isn't, you know, when state and local folks cut their budgets, the first thing, or they're told they have to cut their budgets, the first thing they often cut are libraries and parks, the things that people like and go to a lot, just to basically drive home the point, hey, these budget cuts are really going to hurt you. They cut stuff that a lot of people see in order to drive home the point that this stuff is brutal.
Right.
There may be some of that going on here, and we'll just have to wait until we see the numbers to see whether the National Guard troops there really are the ones that should be cut. I guess the one other thing I would say is that there's the administration, the National Guard troops, when President Obama deployed them there last June, they were always meant to be a bridge, and that's the word you hear out of Homeland Security, a bridge until the Border Patrol could actually staff up the extra agents that Congress approved for it last year. And I've been unable to find out exactly the current level of staffing as of today, as of the end of the fiscal year, October 1st, there are about 21,500 Border Patrol agent slots available, but it's unclear how many of those are currently filled.
Well, they won't need many border agents because I heard over the weekend they're going to put an unmanned kiosk in the middle of nowhere developing. So immigrants can cross and they can do it sort of by remote control. There won't even be a live person there. Did you hear that story?
No, although it raises an interesting point, which is that there's a lot of – this is actually the administration's defense for a lot of what's going on the border, is that technology can replace manpower. And, you know, we'll see if that's the case or not. But they have a lot of faith in the ability of technology to be a force multiplier down there. There have been some major colossal blunders with that, with, you may remember, SBINet, which was supposed to be the virtual fence, and that basically turned out to be a big boondoggle that the Obama administration canceled after it was supposed to be the Bush administration's great savior down there.
Yeah.
So we'll see how far technology gets us, but it's a very interesting open question.
Yeah, all right. I got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you about the House Republicans. Looks like they're going to man the House through the holidays. Why?
So this is this constitutional quirk under the Constitution. One chamber can't leave while the other is in session, and it was meant to basically prevent you know the Senate from running away while the House is trying to pass legislation, or vice versa, the House running away while the Senate is trying to pass legislation. In this case, though, because if the Senate is in session, the President can't make recess appointments. House Republicans have decided they're going to reverse what usually happens. They're going to stay in session, doing basically pro forma sessions to force the senators to come back and do pro forma sessions. As long as the Senate's in, the President can't use his recess appointment powers. Now, there are some questions about how long a recess has to be before the President can use his powers, and Teddy Roosevelt pushed this to the limit back in 1903. He used the instant between the close of one session and the beginning of another session. So literally, the Senate, they gaveled out and gaveled back in. He said in that instant, he made 160 recess appointments. And there are some folks who say Obama should try that now, so we'll see. But there are a lot of nominees that could happen to.
See, today you could get it done with one keystroke. Back then, it took a little more.
And today, right, with electronics, you know exactly where, you know, what's happening. Back then, you sort of wonder how they managed to time it so perfectly.
Yep. All right, Stephen, thanks for your help. We'll do it again.
My pleasure.
See you. Stephen Dinan of the Washington Times.